When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 198. Suns fan here with Cinderin, the great human being, trying to mouth everything I say. I'm a stupid idiot. Very, very stupid. It's like a bad dubbing. Of course, the audio listeners will have no clue what that means. Anyway, welcome to the show. Let's shout out our In Bruges patrons because we have quite a few things to talk about. Go ahead, Cinderin. Take it from here.
All right, let's go. Hello, and thank you to Mr. I Love the NBA segment and would like more of it. Monkey Man says, We Say Things fan meetup in Seattle at TI? Pepperballs, Charlie Cheen, T-Coil, Q-Ludes is sure someone owes us a guest episode. Could be anyone. Stupid Copilot, D2 Bowie, Lab Dota, Yatoro does it again, Cinderin. Any thoughts on adding Ability Arena gifts, chest subscriptions, BP, as an award for the In Bruges tier and Ability Arena ad?
No.
MagDev, no. Dear Valve, marketing is the process of promoting products or services to create value for customers and drive business growth. I feel like this has been in here for like 3 months now.
Longer than that.
I'm sure they'll get the message eventually. Just keep it there. Disco Farm D, the Mega Pope, and what's your favorite kind of cake and why does it contain nuts? T.I. in music.
Does that mean he hates nuts? Or is it
I don't know. I guess they just want us to say nuts every week.
Okay. Also, thank you to Zan Xavier, Nate Thicko01, Ham Scroats, Shark TM, Freshly Seasoned Goat Balls, Janie, Dop, Nothing to See Here, Underscore Man, Guitar Strings, Eve Remort, Ben Broomhead is Ben Broomhead is Ben Broomhead, with an aftertaste, Anonymous, Segway owner, James Hesselden, died in 2010 when his Segway accidentally went off a cliff, Mr. Niebling. I actually knew this one. Oh, we both did. It is one of those ironic cases. It'll go down in time as a good trivia, though. Thank you, Mr. Niebling. All right, I'll make this one quick, as always, wearing a Suns shirt.
Because that's all you have?
This is the sponsor of our NBA segment, is my shirt. I guess there's two things. People said that I'm talking too much about the Suns, and I should be talking more about general stuff that happens, so I'm going to try to occasionally do that, one of which is now. There's a big superstar player named Damian Lillard, Cinderin. He has requested a trade after 11 years being as a Portland Trailblazer, but he only wants to go to one team. So it's one of those weird situations where, remember last week I was saying that we got a guy that had a no-trade clause. You can basically choose where you want to go. That's the only player, though, that has that. Everybody else does not. So this is more one of those things. Hey, I've been very loyal for 11 years. Please let me go where I want to go. And the organization, you know, the other side's like, we want to get the best value possible. There's a ton of teams that want to trade for you. But then if you don't trade him to where he wants to go, then nobody's going to want to go to Portland in general because their owners don't treat the players, loyal players, like they should. Mm. So it's one of those weird situations. So we'll see how that unfolds. And then for Suns news, the free agency period. Remember I said we have three superstars on the team and then a bunch of garbage because we don't have money to spend. Well, somehow... Okay. The Suns come out as the biggest winners in free agency. I don't know how that's possible. Within 24 hours, or I guess 48 hours, we sign our entire, like, we get a bunch of free agents on minimum contracts. A lot of them are good role players. Our team is fucking amazing. I am shocked. I'm actually fucking shocked. So that just means that somebody's going to break their leg, and that's how the season will end. But
what's paper, a good role player in basketball? Is it someone that pretends they can play basketball?
Role player would be, so the thing that every team looks for, it's like the big hot term, is called 3-and-D, okay? It means you can shoot three-pointers and you can play defense.
Okay.
And the reason that's important is because when you have big superstars like we have, they attract so much attention. Think of them as like a black hole. They're sucking in the defense. They get double teams against them. They'll drive in because they can create their own shot. They just have a million things that they can do offensively that you have to send more people at them, which leaves other people open. So that's the three part. Just three. You're literally standing in the corner shooting threes, and it's a high percentage because you're open a lot of the time. And on the other side, because your team is so gifted offensively, these superstar players can't expend as much energy on the defensive end because it's literally impossible. So you have these guys that can make up for their quote unquote deficiencies and play defense. So that's, we got a lot of those. So on paper, all right, I would say the Suns are the best team in the NBA. I'm obviously biased, but haven't won a championship ever, and I don't see how that's going to change, even with the best roster. It doesn't matter, because you need luck, you need health, Sindarin. Health is very important. Okay.
And it's good to lower your expectations, because then it can only get great.
That's right. That's actually very correct. Thank you. All right, Suns fan recommends two shows, one of which I've recommended before, but a new season came out, Black Mirror. Did you ever watch that show? Any episodes?
I did. I don't know how many I watched. I feel like I watched season one and some of season two or something like that. God, a decent amount of episodes.
How do you not just watch all of them? I don't understand. Anyway, for those that don't know, this is on Netflix. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. It's sci-fi. Well, every episode is its own entity. Like, they're not related to one another at all. And generally, they are about technology, whether it's in the future or sometimes it's in the past, but like a made-up, like, timeline where they have futuristic stuff sometimes. But anyway, it's about how technology can spell our doom in certain ways. So it's very grim.
It's usually very dystopian, everything about it, pretty much.
Yes, it usually ends poorly for somebody in the show, which I like the dark endings. There's a couple that are positive. This season, I'm not going to spoil anything. I think it's a really good season. The first episode is amazing. And I think this is the first time, which I don't know if I like this or not, but it's the first time that they've kind of strayed away a little bit from the technology. Like, there's a couple episodes that are more fantasy based, which, like, when I look at them, like, these are really good episodes, but it's not Black Mirror really, right? But I still liked it, so still would recommend it. And then a new show.
Do you know if it's one writer?
Oh, I have no idea.
Or one team, rather, because the amount of creativity you need to come up with all of these scenarios is pretty extraordinary if it's like one writer or one team that gets all those ideas.
Some of the episodes are, if you guys, again, some episodes are misses, some are hits. If you're going to watch one episode, it's the White Christmas special. Amazing episode. And then the second show I would recommend, I think it's on Apple TV, which they actually make quite good shows, as much as I hate Apple. It's called Silo. You ever heard of this one?
No.
So I'm not going to spoil anything again. The season is over, and I liked it so much, I actually bought the book, and I'm going to start reading that because it's a three-book series. The premise is there's an underground silo where 10,000 people live, okay? And they can see outside like this viewport, and they can see that the world has basically ended. Like, it's a toxic wasteland. You can't go outside. They've been here for hundreds of years in this silo. And for some reason, like, there was a war in their silo X years back, and they don't have access to any history past that point. So it's really fascinating, like, this buildup of this story where you have people that have no clue about certain, like, seeing the stars outside. They have no idea what they are, for example, and just seeing them, like, deal with issues that arise within this story or whatever. And I don't want to get in detail about what happens, but I really like this show.
It's got really good ratings, too.
I would recommend this one.
This is a rare case, just anecdotally for me, just skimming over it, where Rotten Tomatoes has higher ratings than IMDb.
What's the ratings on Rotten Tomatoes?
88%. With 57 votes. I mean, I'm assuming it's critics, right? If it's that few votes. 57 votes, 88%. On IMDb, it's 8.1 with 45,000 votes.
Right.
So
I don't know if I gave a good synopsis because I'm afraid of spoiling things, but it's not like, it's exciting. It's a really good show. Mm. It's about people being curious about what's outside. Like, is this fake, basically? Or are we here? Is this a real thing? Like, is it actually dead outside or whatever? So would highly, highly recommend that one. So that's Sons Fan Recommends. And then finally, sorry to take over the beginning of this episode, Cinderin. I will be going on my first vacation as an adult in
That is
tomorrow.
So insane to me. That's actually so insane to me.
I've never taken time to actually take a... I mean, this is only like 4 days, so it's not really a long vacation, but we're going to Hawaii. And
sounds nice.
It actually comes at a pretty... It's an interesting time because we're doing a lot of traveling, which is annoying because I have to travel there. But at the same time, like, we were casting at Dream League. I even told you I was getting really burnt out. And I'm going to see if I'm able to take a vacation. You know, I don't know how to do that. Because, I mean...
So when you say since you've been an adult, you haven't been on a vacation for like 15 years.
Probably over 20, yeah.
Oh, is that possible?
Like, the last vacation I took was with my family when I was in like high school or something. Probably. I don't even remember what it was.
That's so...
I mean, but that's the thing. Like, I feel like my whole life...
I mean,
is
that's
vacation,
obviously coming from, you know, a position of privilege, saying how is that possible? Because not everybody will just be able to take a vacation whenever. But like, you've been pretty successful in Dota. You've had the opportunity to take vacations for many years.
Yeah.
Without having to work nonstop. And you just haven't done it.
That's the thing. Like, working for me is like that's playing, cool. though. I like it so much that it doesn't feel like work. But now I'm feeling a little burnt out. So hopefully the vacation is successful.
And maybe it's a good, if things need to be work-related, going to Hawaii is a good shot because Valve might be there, and then you can still work with them.
That's in April, so dodge that bullet.
I mean, they'll probably go again. They had a good time. They're coming back.
They're certainly not patching Dota, so that makes sense. Okay, but yeah, this should not affect our next episode. I'll be back in time, so it's a real short one. And by then, I'll have a good story for you, hopefully, about how I hated it or I loved it.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for your airport belching story for going to Hawaii.
Yeah. Luckily for me,
it's a direct flight, right?
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
We're good.
I'm sure something can happen. You'll get delays.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
4 day delay.
All right. Let's move on to the Bali Major, which you did not cast. I was casting with Jenkins for the group stage, but I'm guessing you've been watching at least a little bit, although you went on a trip, didn't you? Or something.
Yeah, I've been on a bit of a holiday myself. So you and I, we were going to cast some of these games. But then essentially what ended up happening was I could cast for 2 days, and the 2 days that I could cast for were in a horrible time slot for you. So it was easier and a better setup that you cast with someone else for more days. You cast, was it 4 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on a trip with my friends from this Saturday until yesterday, actually. I just came home yesterday at around noon. It was a great time. We have this annual trip where basically a group of my friends that I hung out with in high school and some of their friends, we've kind of like over time developed this community. So I met new people through them, and then this is our community where we're like, I want to say about 15 people. We just go to a new place in Denmark once a year for a week, and people are there for as long as they like. Some are there for 2 days, if that's what they can do. Some are there for 4 days, some are there the whole week. We hang out, we play games, we go and see some stuff outside if the weather is good, we drink beer. Yeah, it's just a good time. So
you say you play board games?
Yep.
What do you play?
Oh, various stuff. What did I play this time? I actually didn't play that many board games this time around when I was there, but they were, I guess the number one classic one we play is probably Seven Wonders. Hmm. I brought chess. We played that. I brought my poker set. We played that because I had a lot of like old, or not old, old is the wrong word, but I had like merch lying around, especially because we received a lot of stuff from Manscaped at one point. I don't know what happened, but they sent us, I think it was an administration error or whatever. So we got multiple sets of the same kit and I just can't use it. So I was like, I'll bring some stuff. I want my friends to make use of this. And then I was like, couldn't it be fun if we played for it with as prizes in a poker tournament? And then the winner gets to first pick, basically. So I put out some prizes and you picked as top three. And then the rest was kind of free for all the next day. I was just like, who wants some of this? So that was cool. Fun. Yeah, the weather wasn't particularly great, so we didn't really get to go outside too much. It was like overcast and raining almost all the days, or actually all the days. So that was a bit of a shame, because it was actually in a pretty nice location to go and see stuff, but it's always a great time. So that was good.
I'm glad to hear you feel refreshed.
Yeah, I do.
You sound refreshed.
I feel like I sound the opposite of refreshed, whatever that is.
Great. Okay. Yeah, let's move on to the Bali Major then. So we talked about that we cast remotely, or I cast remotely for a bit of it. So coming out of Group A, Team Liquid, Beast Coast, Tundra, Aster in upper bracket, Spirit and Shopify, lower bracket, Blacklist, Execration, and IG out. Do any of those surprise you? The good, the bad, the ugly.
Wait, who did I...
That's Group A.
I picked IG to get top four, so that's surprising. I have to say that's surprising based on my predictions.
Oh, yeah, what?
Yeah, top four of the group.
Let's. Were the groups out already?
Our group predictions, my top four group A was Liquid, IG, Tundra, and Spirit. So I got two out of four. I got Liquid and Tundra. And you said Liquid, Tundra, Aster, and Shopify. So you got three out of four because Aster made the cut.
So close. Yeah?
I mean, all right. Shopify weren't really that close.
So close.
But and in group B, you had Gaming Gladiators.
Okay.
Bet Boom, Evil Geniuses, and LGD. So you got three out of four. Gaming, Bet Boom, and LGD. And I had Gaming Gladiators, LGD, Azure Ray, and Quest. So we both got three out of four.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so
we predicted five out of eight. That's
so
not
bad
B, in an 18-team tournament.
Quest, BetBoom, Gaiman, LGD upper bracket, Nine Pandas, Azure lower bracket. Eliminated are Bleed, Nouns, who got off to a really good start, so sad to see them go out that early. And EG, my God, last place. They won the least games of anyone, and we started to see like them fall a bit at Dream League, but I thought they'd pick it back up. But my God, I don't know what happened with this team. They look terrible.
I guess in connection with that, since you've one-upped me on predictions for top four in the groups by one, we can now look at the White Donkey.
Mm.
You said Liquid.
Yeah.
They won their group.
Okay, good.
I said EG. So,
wait, what?
I guess we're tied?
Wait, White Donkey is a team that's not supposed to do well that...
No, that's a dark horse.
Yeah, a team that
White
is
Donkey's
supposed
a team
to do
that
well.
Is... Yeah, it's supposed to do well and doesn't.
So you actually got that dead on, basically.
Yeah. I mean, Liquid can still bomb out in the playoffs, but at least they made them. So.
Yeah. No, I'll give you that one.
Okay. We're pretty even. That's good. Okay. Right. What was your... I mean, so which games did you cast? Do you feel like one or two teams were really impressive when you were casting?
The issue was that we were casting a couple of the teams a lot, like repeatedly. Mm. So Tundra, we cast a ton of. And LGD, we cast a ton of. They both looked good, not amazing. Tundra obviously playing with AUI instead of Soxa for basically the whole tournament. We cast one game of Quest, and they were, I think they only had two losses, and then they get 0-2'd, kind of stomped.
That was their only series loss, actually.
Yeah. But I didn't get to cast Liquid at all. And. I mean, I wouldn't say, other than EG, I would say none of these are like huge surprises. I think Quest being first was I didn't get to cast any of them during the DPC, so I haven't really been following them that much, but it's cool to see a new team like just dominate pretty much.
I am so happy for my boy TA2000. I really hope he finds success. I think this guy has not won enough compared to how good he is. So it's cool that he's finally getting a good shot at a team that can go the distance.
So as we talk, the upper bracket and lower bracket are underway for the Bali Major. So right now, Team Liquid beat PSG LGD in the upper bracket. BetBoom, we'll talk about that one actually last. Gaiman beats Beast Coast. Quest beats Aster. So they go into the lower bracket. And then the lower bracket, the first actual elimination was PSG LGD beating Team Spirit. So Team Spirit's out of the tournament. So,
if you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Upper bracket. BetBoom plays Tundra. BetBoom, yeah. They win 2-0. And the second game, I need to see how long it was.
105 minutes.
And 5 minutes. And that does not include the delays. I think in total, if I had to guess, it's like a 3-hour period that Cap and SVG had to deal with this game.
Deal with.
BetBoom win in ridiculous fashion against Mega Creeps. Very hype game. And then it cuts to the camera of Pure at some point, and you can see him alt tabbing during a pause. I guess it's like during a replay or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that he's watching a stream. And I think it's, is the guy's name's Nyx? Is that right?
I think it's Nyx's stream, yeah. The biggest Eastern Europe streamer.
So there was speculation about what the hell's going to happen, because that's obviously against the rules. Now, there's a delay and stuff, so I don't think he's like getting information that's going to be super helpful. He's probably just being bored or whatever. That's, I can give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But that is a very stupid, I mean, he's done some stupid things before with the Z last year.
God, this year, start, this, man.
He just somehow one-ups it with another really stupid mistake. So I thought they were going to make an announcement before the stream started, but they did it after like the first series, basically. They'd get disqualified in that match. So Tundra, instead of going lower bracket, despite losing 2-0, will move on to the upper bracket semis to face off against Liquid. BetBoom go to the lower bracket, and as we speak, I think a little later, they will be playing Azuray for the third series.
Yep.
And so that's, we'll talk about that. And then in addition, this is just a random tweet that's on Reddit right now getting some traction. Mm-hmm. A famous Chinese streamer who's a friend of Chalice said Chalice told him that Azuray accepts that they will have to play BetBoom instead of Tundra, but they will only play the series if Pure is not allowed to play. But if that's not the case, Azuray will forfeit and report the whole thing to Valve afterwards. Because according to Valve's rulebook, Pure should be banned and can't even attend other tournaments in the future. But now the organizer of this major is asking them to give Pure a chance to play this series. So let's let's dissect this.
Yeah.
So first, let's start with the act itself. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I want to give a little bit of additional context to the magnitude of this match as well, because BetBoom were celebrating after winning, obviously. They qualified for TI with this win.
Yeah, that's right.
And ironically, this is more or less, it's pretty similar to something that happened to GPK last year when he thought he was going to TI with VP, and then they lost by, what was it, a quarter of a DPC point to Fnatic or whatever it was.
So
GPK seemingly just can't catch a break. I mean, obviously they're not out of the tournament. If they can win against Azuray, they'll be fine. But if not, they're going to have to play the qualifiers because of this shit. So there's a couple of things at play here, right? First of all, as far as the act itself goes, I'm kind of with you. I think it's easy to give the benefit of the doubt, and I think that's also what I'm doing. I don't necessarily think it was malice in any way, but the problem is with the amount and the duration of the pauses in that game, it was entirely possible he could obtain information. Because let's say streams have a 6-minute delay, which is usually what they have, and that's not an arbitrary amount. It's chosen historically because of the duration of wards. If there's a pause for even a couple of minutes, and you open a stream because you're bored, you will be able to see ward locations that can still be relevant in the game. And that's just one thing. You can see other things like players positioning on the map, if the pause is long enough, inventories, like whatever it is that you wouldn't have access to. So that in itself is a big problem. Now, if you... I mean, at the end of the day, there isn't really that much to unpack, right? It's just stupid. It's a risk-reward kind of thing, where what do you have to gain and what do you have to lose? It's entirely possible you do it and it doesn't get discovered. That's probably happened before, that somebody tabbed out to a stream, obtained no information, but the admins didn't pick up on it, and then that's the end of it. But if it does get discovered, it just puts... There's a lot of things here, right? For Pure himself, his teammates are probably, you know, not particularly happy about this situation. So there's the internal team dynamic. Then there's the relationship with the sponsor, which, keep in mind, the title sponsor of this team is a betting site. If there's one thing I would bet you that betting sites do not want to be involved in, it's controversy about integrity, because that's the whole thing that betting runs on, is integrity, or at least perceived integrity of the site.
Yeah.
So if their players are involved in cheating scandals, that's really bad. So I'm sure BetBoom as an org are very unhappy with the situation. So those are the things that are happening around Pure, right? His teammates and now his org. And then you have the history of him also doing this really stupid shit with the beginning of the invasion into Ukraine, where he wrote a Z on the minimap as he was playing against the Ukrainian team. Like, we had to talk about that back when that happened. Really fucking stupid. So, and again, he was probably just being, you know, immature, joking around, thought it was funny. It wasn't funny. And this, he was probably just bored, opened the stream. It wasn't smart. So going forward, under the assumption that he gets to keep playing, unfortunately, if you have multiple instances of something like this, you kind of become a brand risk, right? Like, orgs are going to be more cautious and players are going to be more cautious playing with someone like this, which is a huge shame, because the guy is really fucking good. Like, he's extremely good at the game. He seems to, overall, from what I've seen and heard, be a pretty good teammate. But he's just doing tertiary things that usually don't have any problem in Dota. He's just doing tertiary things to shoot himself in the foot. It's just
self-sabotage, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it would be funny if it wasn't so sad, right? Like, it's just, you got to feel for the other people involved as well as himself, right? Because I genuinely think this guy is probably a good kid and he's just doing dumb shit. And that's unfortunate.
I mean, yeah, we don't know him personally, so we can't speak to that, but agreed. Very, very stupid. So the punishment itself, do you think that this was less than it should have been, more than it should have been, or just right? Because I was thinking of the options, because I was talking about this on stream before it was actually announced what was going to happen. And I'm like, a lot of people are using the word cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no proof technically. I mean, first of all, it's against the rules. There's no question about that. And yes, there should be a punishment. I personally have a hard time believing that he's actually going to get any useful information from it, regardless of the pause and whatnot. But I'm not saying it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to, like you said, it's probably just him being very stupid. Now, they had a few options. One is to not do anything, which they're going to get shit on. You have to do something about this, right?
Yeah.
First thing you could do is forfeit the game in question and not the series. So that would be 1-1. You go to a game 3, which has, you know, scheduling issues and whatnot. Second thing is to ban them, or to forfeit the entire series, which is what they did. So they go to lower bracket. The other one is to forfeit the series and then ban him from playing the rest of the tournament, at least, just that player. And then the other one is something that would never be done, is just ban the team from the rest of the tournament, which...
Yeah, just straight DQ?
That would just ruin the entire tournament anyway. So, which option do you think was the best for this?
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of hard to say. Like, when we've had smaller instances of rule breaking or not following admin instructions or whatever, usually what happens in these tournaments is that teams get a draft penalty, right, for the next series. Like, they lose a minute, they lose all of their bonus time, depending on severity or whatever. This is kind of unprecedented, right? I don't feel like we've had something like this before to mind.
I was thinking that too. I don't have a memory of anything like this, but maybe we're wrong.
So there isn't really a direct reference. I don't know. I feel like it's actually a really tough decision to make in general, so I don't envy the admins for having to choose this. I personally, given the situation, and I also have to admit, I didn't see the exact moments. I haven't seen when he opened the stream and what happened in the game following, because maybe, you know. But I mean, so that's also, if they take a great fight after the pause, there's no guarantee that that's because he saw it. They could just be taking a great fight.
That is what happened, though.
Yeah.
Is they took a good fight.
So that obviously draws further into question whether he knew stuff he wasn't supposed to know because they took that good of a fight. Mm-hmm. But shit like that happens all the time with normal pauses, that one team just gets a great fight coming out of a pause. So I don't know. I'm kind of leaning, if I had to choose, if there was no secondary issues around it, I think I would give them a default loss in the game and then play the third game probably. So it's like, it's still a pretty serious slap on the wrist to make them lose a game in that series, and then they can still win. Either that or what they did. Now, The thing that I'm not sure about, what you do following that, because I don't mind their decision to give a default win to Tundra over this, but I don't know if you ban Pure for the rest of the tournament. That's what I don't know. Like, this is already a very serious slap on the wrist. You lose your guaranteed TI, you lose your guaranteed top six, and you go down to an elimination game. When you should have been 2-0.
I think it was just I think it was perfect decision, actually.
Yeah. I think it's kind of rare that we say that about organizers, actually, that we like
especially considering how the major's going right now. There's a lot of issues. Yeah. But I would say the only thing that I wish they had done was they just announced this earlier. Because right now, like, they ended up delaying that series to the end of the day instead of, I think, third series. I think it's fourth, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So Azure got less prep time.
Yeah. Well, technically, basically, both teams get less prep time, right? But
yeah. But
Azure, much less.
And also, the team that receives the punishment can't really complain that they get less prep time because it's kind of part of the punishment, right? But Azure.
So I don't know from this tweet that we read about them potentially forfeiting, which that's going to be very interesting to see what they actually decide. I don't know what what rule they're reading, like if it's about cheating, because this doesn't, what he was doing is against the rule. It doesn't necessarily mean he was cheating.
Yeah.
So there's,
if you're confirmed cheating, I think you just get disqualified from the tournament as a bare minimum.
Yes.
Right. If you're confirmed cheating in some way, but this is a gray area because you can't prove he was cheating. Right.
Right. I mean, keep in mind that we've had the Lima Major. What team was that? The Chinese team that we were casting some of their games and they were obviously throwing, and then they get banned for life after the tournament. Like, everyone knew that was happening.
Was it Knights?
Yeah, Knights.
You mean?
We knew that was happening. Like, we were literally casting the game after, like, this is not legit. I've never cast a game like this before, right? Mm-hmm. So we've had instances, but they weren't punished until after the tournament. They obviously bombed out of group stage anyway, so it wasn't that big of an impact, I guess. This one's upper bracket. And so, yeah, what do you think of that tweet about them forfeiting if he's not banned for the rest of the tournament? Because based on what they're like, based on the tweet, it makes it seem like that he's just dead cheating and that he would be banned from all Valve tournaments, which I would be shocked if that ends up happening. I don't think there's any.
Yeah. I personally think you can. From my perspective, I would be okay with him being banned for the rest of this tournament, also to make a statement and send a message. But to me, this is not a lifetime ban situation. Lifetime ban situations, or, I mean, we've talked about that, whether we think lifetime ban should be a thing in general, but let's say serious punishment, I think, should be reserved for confirmed cheating cases or match fixing, right? Like, those are the two most serious things you can do in Dota for the competitive integrity.
Yeah.
And this is like a tertiary one that's kind of unexplored and uncommon or whatever. And it, in level of seriousness, this will never compare to actual in-game cheating or to match fixing and how much it ruins the games. So if you want to make it a statement and you disqualify him for the rest of the tournament, I'd be okay with that. But I don't think it should go beyond that. Now, I don't know if Azure is in a position to make the demands that they are. From what I've read and heard so far, there is a real chance that Pure is not allowed to play and their coach Bulk has to play, which would be a pretty major hit to Bedboom. I think Bulk is still very good at the game, but I don't think he's on the level of, let's say, AUI2000, right, that swaps in for Soxa, and he's still like an extremely good player. I don't think Bulk is at that level.
Do you think that this, from as a raise. You think it's a bluff? Think they'll play? Or are you actually reading something that's saying that the coach will be playing?
No, I read, I mean, again, it's so new, right? This is like 2 hours old, so who knows what's going to end up happening, right? But there's definitely at least rumors that Pure will not get to play. But I don't know if it's confirmed in any sense. I don't think they are yet. When is this match meant to be played? In 30 minutes?
Well, there was tons of delays, so I don't know if that's
so probably in, let me see. It is meant to be the next series, I do believe. And the current series is 1-1. So.
Oh, I remember I said that it's supposed to be the last series of the day.
Yeah.
They swapped it. So Aster and Nine Pandas haven't played yet.
So there's
a third.
Oh, series. So those two will be swapped around. So there will be another series in between. Okay, then that's like 5 hours. Maybe.
I believe so, but that's not updated on Liquipedia, so I can't really verify.
Yeah.
But either way,
got it.
I mean, Azuray, to my knowledge, they can't make TI anyway, right? So their placement in terms of making TI doesn't affect it, even if they get first place.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see if this is a bluff, because if the organizer are trying to convince them to let Pure play, then it's like a negotiation. It's kind of weird, right? It's also very strange. But yeah, okay. So I'm sure by the time this episode comes out, people will have more information than we have right now. So that's going to be, I mean, I'm almost tempted to stay up and watch that fucking series. I guess we can quickly talk about, do you have any thoughts on, I mean, the major itself has had major issues. Lima also had major issues. I was telling you as you got on that the stream went down for probably a collective like 40 minutes, like a 15 minute period, then comes back up 15 minutes. I don't know how long it was, to the point where I had 5,000 viewers on my stream coming to watch me just watch a 10 minute delayed Dota TV. That's kind of unprecedented. That's really strange as well. Having said that, TI, what game was it? It was like one of the last games in the finals went down temporarily as well. It seems to just be a more common occurrence. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think so. When it happened to TI, I want to say it's more of an exception there than it is in other tournaments overall. Like the reason there was so. It was also not just that it happened to TI, because if that happens in groups, people are like, yeah, okay, you know, it sucks, it's down, it's groups, technical issues happen. But it was at the time that it happened, right? It was during the grand finals, wasn't it? At TI, I think. It was either grand finals or at least a top three game. So it was a very high-stakes series with tons of people watching. So that's, you know, obviously, that was really unfortunate timing. But I think it's kind of impossible to safeguard yourself entirely against technical issues. You just can't, right? Like there's external factors, there's physical factors that can happen. Like somebody makes a mistake, the provider of the service has an outage, whatever it is. So I will generally cut tournament organizers slack if something goes wrong, but it's about the frequency, right? Like I also feel like that's the kind of the perspective that the audience at large has, is that they understand that things can go wrong and that it's not always smooth. Even I think right now in terms of like overall stream quality and consistency, probably ESL are running the most successful tournaments, but even they also have mistakes and things going wrong sometimes. I feel like the community cut them a lot more slack because the general quality and the general frequency is way lower. The quality is higher and the frequency is lower. This and Lima from ePulse has definitely had a lot of issues, and I'm not going to point fingers and say whose fault it is, because I don't know, and I don't think it's constructive necessarily, but it needs to be better than this, right? I think everybody recognizes that. So, I don't know what's causing it. They seem to have had every issue almost, right? They've had sound issues, they've had streaming issues, they've had video issues, they've had player drama, they've had admin issues about decision making, and at least this one, I feel like the one with BetBoom against Tundra, I think the admins did a good job. But then again, the question is also, how did it even come to be? Why didn't an admin in the room pick up on this, right? That this was happening? And I personally want to cut the admin a little bit of slack, depending, because we obviously just get to see a few seconds of a camera shot, right?
Pure might have not tabbed out to it a single time. He might have just opened it because he was bored. And you can't watch all five monitors simultaneously every second as an admin. You just can't. Mm. So maybe he just didn't notice at the time. And I'll be willing to believe that. But if it's something that's just been running for like 10 minutes, I mean, you know, then it's a different story. Then you're just
so
not competent.
I know a big reason why they're having a lot of issues, but I am not at liberty to say what they are yet, but I've been told I can talk about them after the event. So okay. Just remind me because it's an interesting one to say the least. But I feel like, is it just me? It's like, not to suck off ESL. Fucking, if Shane watches this, I'm not sucking you off, Shane, okay? But they seem to be the only organizer that doesn't have issues, right? I mean, maybe there's like slight things here and there during the group stage, but PGL, major, major issues. Lima, major issues. Bali, major issues. TI, pretty major issues as well, but that was because PGL was running the group stage as well, actually. It's like, where's WePlay? Who's the other one? Where's BTS?
BTS.
Where's Moonduck?
Yeah, where's Moonduck when you need the man?
Hey, we JJ. We ran tournaments successfully.
We did. That's actually true. Thank you, JJ.
Captain's Draft Minor. We had a one-hour delay. That was the worst, and that was amazing content. That ended up being
and
like
the arena
best.
Was cold.
Yeah, we had some issues, but it wasn't like this, okay? It wasn't like this. Yeah, Epicenter. It's another big one.
Yeah,
like all these
what are they
big,
called? Epic events, right?
All these big tournament organizers just aren't in Dota, and they're not chosen to do stuff in Dota despite making applications and whatnot to try to run stuff.
But I mean, it's also a bit of rose-tinted glasses, right? Because BTS events also had issues. Like, they would also have sometimes streams fail or connection problems or this or that. Like,
but would it plague their event? Because think of issues
that's
like
the
Shanghai
difference. I
major
feel like
level
they,
stuff, right? We've had several of those in the last year, it feels like.
I think BTS's worst issues were not at a magnitude of the ones you just mentioned. So they've definitely been better. It's just, I think it's worth remembering and being fair that even the better organizers of the past also have issues. And that's not to paint them in a bad light. It's to cut a little bit of slack to the current ones. Mm-hmm. But they just don't deserve slack on the level that they need right now for this, right? Like, let's say there was a half of these issues or a third of these issues. You could be like, okay, you know, mistakes happen. Individual people fuck up or we're losing connection because the ISP is failing for half an hour or whatever. That can happen. You also, sometimes in TV broadcasts of the biggest events of the year, I remember growing up, we watched a lot of tennis on TV. Sometimes Wimbledon, there would be signal issues for like half an hour. It would just be like, we have technical issues. Unfortunately, we can't show you the game right now. It would be like, you know, that was on big TV channels like Eurosport or whatever. So it also happens there. So I'm just saying. But yeah, it's too much. I would agree with that 100%.
Okay.
But yeah, it would be nice if BTS did stuff again. I would be a fan. I like BTS.
Let's move on to TI qualified team. So let me drag... You know what? If anybody knows the reason, I keep forgetting to Google this, and I'm going to forget once this podcast is over. I cannot drag images into my obs source window anymore. Did they change something? It's so weird.
I don't know.
I'm going to add this manually. Image. We're getting there, Sindarin, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
So teams that have qualified and the current standings in general. So there it is. Okay. So obviously this will not be fully up to date because there's games currently being played right now. But the nine teams that are definitely qualified right now are Team Liquid, Gaming Gladiators, Tundra, EG, PSG LGD, Shopify, Talon, Nine Pandas, and Team Spirit. So this is where things get a little interesting. BetBoom, because... They got. Sorry to laugh. It's just fucking funny, though. Let's be real. Because they forfeited, they can still make TI, but they were originally that 10th team. Now it's an unknown. The next team that's closest that are not in this tournament are TSM, and they're depending on, I forget what results, to be to be fully invited because there's only three slots left that we have to figure out. So teams that are still in the running, TSM, like I said, not in this tournament, but can still make it. Beast Coast, still in this tournament. BetBoom, we already mentioned. Quest, who are still in this tournament. They have to do very well, which they might. And Aster, which are in the lower bracket, I believe.
And so, technically, in a very absolute ultra worst case scenario for BetBoom, technically Execration can make it, right? If BetBoom have to replace a player in the roster, they lose 20% of their points.
That's true.
If Pure does not get to continue playing, then Execration could actually get it. But like we both said, I don't think either of us expects that to happen. But it is a hypothetical here that Execration could get in off of the misery of BetBoom. But I don't expect that. But it is possible. Yeah, so the short version, TSM is cheering for Quest and Aster to lose. Beast Coast is obviously have fate in their own hands right now against Shopify. If they win that third game, then I think they're a lock, actually. I think so. I think if Beast Coast beat Shopify, they're in. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure. Either way, they're still in the tournament, so they have the potential to just, you know, climb higher and higher. And Quest, with how well they're playing right now, this is not out of the question either, right? They could definitely do it, especially if BetBoom end up losing.
God,
then
imagine,
the cutoff you need to cross is only 761.
Who's left? Okay, if Quest makes it, who in Western
Europe? And Aster,
Europe,
too. Aster also have a good shot.
Let's say Quest makes it. They do really well. Who in Western Europe is left? It's like the whole fucking division.
Oh, for the qualifiers?
Yeah. Like, who's in Div 1? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter what Div you are, but like, what
Secret?
Are the teams? Yeah, they're Div
2. I mean,
two,
the fan favorite teams that Enigma. Are still there are Secret and Enigma, right?
But who from Div 1 is still there? Off the top of
my
head.
I have to look this up. I actually can't remember it off the top of my head now anymore.
Entity,
you're
OG.
Right. All the big ones. Yeah.
That's crazy, though, if you think about it.
Could be the one.
That's
right?
A lot of Western European
teams. DPC Western Europe. Div 1. Okay, so this season's Div 1 had Tundra, Gaming, Quest, and Liquid, OG Entity, and D1 Hustlers and Secret. So out of those, like you said, OG and Entity are the only two. And then Secret is a wild card, right? D1 Hustlers will also be playing the qualifiers, and they could also do well.
Enigma as well, right?
In Div 2. Yeah, Enigma is in Div 2. I was just looking at Div 1 for now, right? Enigma get promoted to Div 1 again, but there's no Div before the qualies. Yeah. So, and then who else is worth here looking at? I guess that's pretty much it. That's most likely, right?
And then for NA...
The winners of Div 2 were Level Up.
If TSM make it from NA, then that leaves Nouns as the huge favorite to go to TI, which would be enormous for them.
Yes.
But if not, then it's going to be a crapshoot between them and TSM.
Nouns want the right teams to lose right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah.
And unfortunately for them, they were in a position to, you know, do it themselves, right? They actually made this major. Yeah. And they started off pretty well, but didn't quite. They started with a 4-4 and they ended 5-11.
All right.
So.
Can you are you on Liquipedia right now? Can you quickly look what how many points they got for qualifying?
For making the major.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got 0 points at the major, right? Because you need to get top 8 to get points.
Right, but for the placement to go to the major.
So Division 1. This is going to take me a hot minute.
Okay, well, I'll explain the scenario because we did bring it up before. So Team Spirit is the last team right now, the 9th out of 12. But
I've got it here now.
Okay.
So Noun's got 300 points for second in NA Div 1.
300.
And TSM got 200 for third.
Okay, so 100%, if TSM were, if they had qualified, then Nouns would be the heavy favorite in the qualifiers already.
TSM would have had at least 1,000 points instead of 900.
So that scenario that we were discussing.
I think that would have been enough.
The scenario we were discussing, whether you want to go to the major even, but yeah, we still won't know, I guess, until these games are finished. So
I still think there is still the possible, I mean, it's still likely that TSM end up going to TI without playing qualifiers. And then I think the LAN experience for Nouns is very valuable.
Yep.
You've got to look at the bigger picture too, that If TSM don't go and they have to play the qualifiers, both teams, Nouns have a real shot at winning. Obviously, they've beaten them once. They can do it again. And if they don't, then if they don't have to play them, then again, this lane experience will likely give them a much better shot at an eventual TI.
Yep, agreed.
So there's a lot of value in this despite not getting points.
At the time, it seemed risky, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's looking a little bit better. Okay, so let's go from that to...
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
TI prize pool rumor. This was on Reddit, yep. I think a couple days ago. From Kuzia, who writes, Caster spilt some tea that Valve will, I guess is what they meant to say, expand the initial prize pool of TI 2023 from 1.6 million to 3 million, and they will readjust crowdfunding in some way. Your thoughts if this were to be true? This is a rumor right now, so we're not going to take it as a truth. Do you think this is a way for them, because they know that the Battle Pass is not going to be giving that much, that gives it a little boost, but if it is, then it's not really that big of a boost in the grand scheme of things, right?
I just quickly Googled what the start prize pool was for League of Legends Worlds. Because I wanted to see if it was like a thing where, oh, we need to at least be bigger than Worlds.
Right.
So the starting prize pool of Worlds last year was 2.25 mil, I think. It looks like. No, 2.23. And they raised...
They raised money for theirs. Oh.
Yes. Or no, wait. Actually, I'm not sure. Anyway, this initial prize pool will be higher than that of theirs. I don't know exactly how it works with League, to be honest. But what's my thoughts on this? I mean, great, obviously. If Valve want to put more money into the prize pool, there's a couple of things being communicated here, if that is the case. One is, we recognize that the prize pool will not be as big as previous years. And the other thing is, we still think this event deserves a certain magnitude of baseline, and 1.6 is not that. So I think, I mean, to me, this is good news. But it's also the wording here. Again, we're saying news, it's a rumor, but it says they will readjust crowdfunding in some way. This could be many things. It could be a different percentage. It could be a different implementation. It could be tiered, where, how to say, the more you buy into their product, the more goes to the prize pool, relatively speaking, or something like that. Mm. Or vice versa. There's different ways of doing this.
They could remove it.
Yeah, that would be an adjustment.
It could just be a $3 million prize. Yeah. So again,
that would definitely be an adjustment to crowdfunding. That is true.
This is just a rumor, but figured we talk about it because... TI is just, man, ever since I started getting invited to TI, it's been weird every year. And it's, I guess it's just.
And ultimately, the final thing you could consider with this is, are Valve aiming to have this be bigger than Riyadh, right? Is that a goal for them in general? And that's kind of, it's related to this, obviously, because it's 1.4 extra million, but it's also more of just a general thing. Like, what's the goal here for Valve? What's the end game? Are you still trying to make a huge prize pool without the battle pass? And if so, what's your strategy? Like, how can you raise that amount of money in 1 month? Will be very interesting. I mean, these next couple of months for me are very telling about the future of the pro scene, actually. So,
yeah.
It's daunting and exciting at the same time. Let's see what it's going to be.
It's scary in some ways. Yeah. Job security, there's a lot of people kind of left to wonder.
Yeah.
What the hell is going to actually happen to this game? Okay, so from that, let's move to another complete shit show, which is Twitter.
Oh.
So you guys know I have quite disdain for Elon Musk as of late, especially since I found out that wasn't really a fanboy or anything like that, but I liked a lot of the projects he was on. I found out that he barely, like, he came on like after they were already created in most cases and had very little to do with. Anyway, ever since he's bought Twitter, it's been a fucking shit show. Maybe this is just us in our own bubble, but this one I wanted to mention because for me, it's the last straw. So I use TweetDeck. So on my phone, I'll just use the Twitter app, whatever, but I don't use it very much. I just check for like 30 seconds a day, probably, like barely ever. And when I'm on my computer, I have a tab that's literally dedicated to TweetDeck because it's very nice. Mm-hmm. You can schedule tweets. Not that I'm using Twitter that much anymore, so maybe it doesn't matter that much, but like my Twitter usage has definitely gone down quite a bit. I don't give a shit about it anymore. Anyway, to be able... So they come out with this tweet about TweetDeck that they're going to be adding a bunch of these features, and at the end of the feature list, it says, in 30 days, users must be verified to access TweetDeck. And I don't want to get political, Cinderin. Mm-hmm. But generally, people that are verified now are, it's not everybody, but a lot of them are the type of people that I'm not super interested in associating with, let's say. So I will not be getting a verification on Twitter. So it means I can't use TweetDeck anymore. So I'm just gonna give up on the app. Maybe I'll use it on my phone occasionally to tweet out. I mean, right now I'm just using it for We Say Things tweets, which is useless, I feel like. So, been looking for something new because Facebook is a shit show. Instagram I use occasionally, but it's also owned by Facebook. And it feels like the algorithms are just awful now. Like, they were so good at the beginning. Get a bunch of followers, and then you have to start paying to get people to see your posts. It's like, great. So there's a new app that's supposed to be coming out called Blue Sky that's supposed to be quote unquote taking over. And so I've signed up for that, but you can't use it yet. And then the other one, which I signed up for today, is called Threads, which unfortunately is also created by Facebook. It's called an Instagram app, but it's literally like I opened it up and it's literally just Twitter. So you should give it a shot, I guess. I know you're not into social media either. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe I'm not into social media anymore. It's just Reddit. It's all I use and consume.
Speaking of Reddit, which app did you use on your phone for it?
Actually, I've always used the official app, so this didn't affect me.
Oh, so then that's not a problem for you. Okay, because I was going to have a recommendation for you if you were using third-party apps. Because apparently, by random chance, so... Many years ago, she started using Reddit on the phone before I did, and she does her research and she found an app and she tried a couple of different ones and she was like, this one I like, so I'm going to use that. And then she recommended it to me and I was just like, oh yeah, this looks nice, I'll use that one. Apparently the one we're using, which is called Relay, will not be shut down as one of the only ones by chance. I think they're going to change their monetization model though, so it might be like subscription based or whatever, but... Compared to basically every other app that's shutting down, ours is at least still running. It's good. I like it. But if you use the official app, it's not a problem, obviously. Then you can just keep doing what you're doing.
Ignorance is bliss. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah. It's not about like the whole verification thing. I don't mind purchasing something. Like Reddit, I pay for. Like, I think the features that you get from that are very helpful. But I don't know. So, yeah, sign up for Threads so you can follow me, Cinderin, SunsFanTV on Threads. Picture of one cat on there.
Are you making Threads or Blue Sky or both?
Both.
But Blue Sky.
Well, I don't have access to that. I mean, you know how these things go. You never know which one's gonna take off. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm kind of just tired of Twitter, tired of the drama. Mm-hmm. So time to move on, I think. All right. Couple other things I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about all of these because they've been on here for quite a while, it feels like. So, Stormgate. If you guys remember, there was an RTS game being built by some ex-Blizzard devs in a company called Frost Giant. And the game finally had a reveal of sorts, a gameplay reveal, which Day 9 announced on the PC Gamer show. And they have some footage of it. So I watched that, and I wanted to give my two cents, even though I'm not, you know, I'm an old school Brood War guy, but didn't really play StarCraft 2 very much. Wasn't my cup of tea. I did play Warcraft 3, obviously. And this game is supposed to be a cross between Warcraft 3 and StarCraft. And they showed this video, and it's two human players. They didn't show any other races, which is unfortunate because I always found Terran to be so boring. Like, I always like Zerg and Protoss. That's all I played.
Yeah.
But they showed a 1v1 of human versus human, or whatever the faction's actually called. And it looks pretty cool. Has some interesting mechanics. Like, one thing they showed is there's, like, if there's a tree line, let's say. So in RTS, that's basically a wall, unless you're a flying unit. But for this, if a unit is small enough, it can actually go through the trees, which is cool. So that adds extra depth to, like, you know, microing or different gameplay or ganking or whatever they call it, ganking in StarCraft. In RTS,
yeah. And then, let's gank their base.
And then if you're a big unit, you can't go through. But then some units can actually destroy the trees. I don't know if they can regrow. Mm-hmm. But I found that to be a pretty interesting mechanic. And then it also had a Warcraft 3 thing where they were killing... In the video, it's a temp art thing. It's just a chicken, but it's going to be like a big boss. But essentially a neutral creep somewhere where you get some resource or whatever. I don't know what you get for it. Yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool.
They don't have hero units, right?
No hero units. It honestly looks very, to me, and again, this is an untrained eye that didn't play that much StarCraft. It looks a lot like StarCraft 2 to me.
Yes.
Pretty damn
I would
similar.
Agree with that.
It has like dropship, micro, and all that stuff. And I looked at the Stormgate subreddit when this was announced. I was expecting everybody super hyped. It was very polarizing because all the StarCraft people were like, this game looks too slow. And all the Warcraft people were like, this game looks too fast. And it's like, well, it's supposed to be melding the two. So actually, maybe that's perfect, exactly where it is.
Yeah. But,
I mean, RTS for me, it's probably not something I will seriously play. But I'm glad to see, like, I think from an esport perspective, I loved watching StarCraft, even though I didn't play it, because it's too stressful. So I'm happy that this, which I think the alpha is coming out this month, if I'm not mistaken, or the closed beta or something. What did you think of the video, if you watched it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, this is like 90% StarCraft, 10% Warcraft. It's not like a mix. I think the main thing that makes it a little bit Warcrafty is the pace, like you said. Like, it's a little bit slower. I feel like it's a bit hard to judge. Like you said, it's just Terran versus Terran, right? The overall graphics look pretty nice and clean. And a bit of the gameplay. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I also saw in some of the gameplay. I don't know, this is... Oh yeah, there's a unit in StarCraft that does this, right? That has, like, ranged pierce. It's the Hellion, right? That hits in, like, a line. Because I was like, this is not a particularly common element in RTS, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking with an old mind here. But I noticed one of the Terran units was like this big mechanical unit. And it was piercing with its shots into an army of Marines or whatever. But yeah, I think as for an alpha or a first public show pre-alpha, it looks pretty clean, honestly. So that's a good sign. And now the big question for you and me, as usual with this kind of stuff, is the genre, has it run its course, right? Because it's like, if players nowadays don't really look to these games, then you can make an outstanding title. But if the genre isn't in, then not enough people are going to play it.
Mm.
But I think a lot of the time with games and stuff, like, things can go in cycles, right? Things can make a comeback because now everybody's played Battle Royales for 5 years. So now they want to play something else. A game like this, if it's good enough, I feel like could be successful and could become an esport. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, so we'll see.
It definitely doesn't look like a disappointment. Let's put it that way, right? Like,
yeah, I thought it looked...
What they've shown is good.
A lot of the comments on the suburb are like, man, this doesn't look polished at all. I'm like, yeah, it looks like it's a finished game almost, to me.
Yeah, this is pre-alpha.
My goodness. Do you guys know what alphas usually look like? Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm optimistic that I'll be able to watch this game and enjoy it, but RTS is just too stressful for me, so it's probably not something that I'll play too much. Next topic, you probably know more about this than me, because I don't watch any of these people, Sindarin. XQC. This is old news now.
I know this happened, but that's pretty much all I know about it.
He has been paid $100 million to stream on kick.com, and it's not even exclusive, so he can still stream on Twitch. And if I'm not mistaken, this was a 2-year deal. Is that wrong?
Maybe that's wrong. Correct.
Okay. $100 million for 2 years, non-exclusive, on kick.com. What the
fuck? He's signing a 2-year, roughly $70 million contract with incentives that could push the total to about $100 million.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, okay, very important to clarify that, as if this wasn't enough.
70 guaranteed million dollars.
Yeah.
That is absurd.
Okay, so a couple of things, right? So to my knowledge, Kick is either owned or at least majority funded by Stake, which had a lot of controversy with Twitch, right? Because there was this phase on Twitch where there was a lot of gambling streams with, not poker, but slots specifically, like literally just people playing huge spins all the time, and they were being paid by the site to promote it, etc., etc. That was Stake. I believe they have a lot of money in this if they don't own it. Mm-hmm. So you can have your perspective on where this money's coming from and the funding or whatnot, your own ethical compass with this. People have very different takes on gambling as a concept and whatnot. So it's more just like, that is a factor to think about with this. And then aside from that, something I've said for quite a while that I still stand by, I think it's really good if we get more competition in streaming, because it's not healthy to have a monopoly, which Twitch hasn't had, but it's been pretty damn close, because YouTube just cannot make a good discovery system for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They just do not offer good discoverability for their streamers, so the terms are just not great. Like, even if YouTube pays more per viewer, you're not going to get as many viewers, because they're not showing you anywhere. People need to find you rather than you being able to promote yourself on YouTube. Whereas Twitch, the whole discoverability is way better. And that's obviously a huge deal if you're not a big name. That's how you build, is people need to find you and like you and then want to watch again. So the more competition there is, especially if flagship streamers for Twitch start streaming somewhere else as well, it kind of puts more pressure on Twitch to give people better deals, better conditions, better terms. Over the last, I want to say 2 or 3 years, Twitch has definitely been squeezing a little bit on certain streamers, and their PR in terms of the big people on the platform is definitely not as good as it has been. So to me, that's the positive thing about this, is that there is a rival platform that's trying to push things and compete. And I hope in the end that the end outcome is that streamers get better conditions. If it's the top 0.1% of streamers, I don't care as much about it as if it's like a broad thing, right? But if Twitch reaches a point now where they need to just flat out give better terms to everyone streaming on the platform, that's huge, right? Because that's the people who are maybe making a living wage off it, but not much more, or the ones that are kind of close to being able to do this full time, but can't really do it. Those are the people that I would love to see get a little bit of a push,
the,
right?
The main reason that this kick.com even exists is because of the gambling, right? They want to be able to gamble on stream.
I don't know enough about what exactly. So if I'm right about how Kick connects with Stake, I would imagine Stake specifically bankrolled or started this platform in order to maintain their gambling streams, because it is allowed on this platform. I know that for a fact. So yeah, that is absolutely a big part of it. But I also would be surprised if that's like the only reason, right? Like, if you're, it might be the prime reason that they started this whole thing, was to be able to keep streaming this legally and have their own system to do it. But if you're doing that anyway, I think you're also interested in just having people stream in general, right? I don't think Kick is just like, we just want people on this platform to stream gambling. We don't care about anything else. At the end of the day, it's revenue for them. If people come there and stream something else, then that. So I think they want streamers who are big and stream various stuff. XQC has streamed quite a bit of gambling in the past, I think. So he's obviously... This was like the profile they could get almost, because they know he will be willing to stream gambling and that he is one of the biggest streamers on Twitch in general. And that's also why it's so expensive. Mm. But yeah, it's a crazy story. It's kind of similar to, what was it, Mixer? Who was it Mixer bought to start?
What,
they
streamers?
Got some big names as well. Yeah. Was it Ninja?
Ninja, Shroud.
Yeah. Ninja and Shroud. I think those were the two biggest. And at the time, Ninja was the streamer, right? And Mixer. I think Mixer paid 100 mil for him, I think.
Was it?
But that was an exclusivity agreement, to how I remember it. Absurd. So, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a shame Mixer didn't take off more, because that would have been good for, again, the overall quality of streaming.
Yeah, the moment that Twitch gets scared, actually scared about any platform competing, is when we will get 4K streaming. And it's when we will get higher than 6K bitrate. Like, fuck, it's 2023. Yeah. 6K bitrate is fucking awful, man. It's atrocious.
And I mean, it can't be server limitations, right? They have Amazon.
Cheaper. That's the thing, it's cheaper.
Sure, yeah, I'm just saying, it's not a matter of capacity. It's a matter of economy, right? Like, they have the capacity. They have the fucking Amazon servers.
Yeah.
So, but it's like with Valve not doing 128 tick. They have the servers for it, right?
Oh, God. Don't get me started on 128
tick. For CSGO. They just choose not to do it.
They just have no reason to do it because nobody's competing with them. Plain and simple. No. Okay. Last topic, and this one will be quick. So, there's a thing in Las Vegas called the MSG Sphere, okay? That it's been built or still being built, technically. It's supposed to be a venue where you can have, like, concerts and all this stuff. The outside is complete. Mm-hmm. It's a sphere that is 366 feet tall and 516 feet wide, and it's the world's largest spherical structure. And the entire thing, I'm trying to think if it's, yeah, okay. It has 1.2 million hockey puck-sized LEDs. The entire sphere is basically a screen, okay?
It's so
and
insane, actually.
They have
Holy
been,
shit.
So this, I think, came out a couple days ago with some videos, I think for 4th of July. Like, there's one where it's like an eyeball blinking. There's fireworks. Like, there's obviously endless things that you can actually have. Amazing advertisement platform where you're just literally showing something on the screen and you can see it from miles away. And usually for stuff like this, it's kind of what it, this is pretty freaking cool, I have to say. One of them was the Earth, very realistic looking Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Moon. Yeah, the inside's not done yet. The first concert, I think, is going to be in October it's going to be U2 that will be performing.
This looks unreal.
But
actually,
it
look
you guys should look that up. It's called the MSG Sphere. And I'm not going to lie. Okay, so this thing costs $2.3 billion to make. And I'm not somebody that is a Las Vegas fan, let's say. I'm not, as you know, not a gambling fan at all. And just the feel of the city feels very dirty, feels very cheap. It's like there's trash everywhere. There's like fucking advertisement. Everything is an advertisement.
Wait,
very
when
flashy.
Have you been to Vegas, actually?
I've been several times. I only live 5-hour drive away, so it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's just why have you gone if you're not interested in what the city has to offer? I was just curious.
As a kid, I would go with my parents that would go occasionally. And then for my 21st birthday, I went because that's what you're supposed to do. And I lost all my money in two hands of blackjack and then haven't gambled since. Anyway, suffice to say, other than I have never been to a show, and that's probably something I would enjoy. Generally, I do not like Vegas. It's not my scene, okay? I would actually want to go see this because it looks that cool.
Yeah.
So
it does look cool.
They got me on this sphere.
Yeah.
So
I've been to Vegas.
You have been to Vegas.
I think we've talked about this before. I've been to Vegas once, and I had this. This city has this like eerie feeling to it. It's not a place, is the best way I can describe it for people that haven't been. It's like there's this huge. There's so many buildings and so many things, and it feels like nobody lives there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a city that isn't a city. It's just it's a facade. The whole thing feels like a facade.
Yeah.
It's very strange. I went once with a Dota tournament. There was one Dota tournament in Vegas in, I want to say, 2018 or 2019 or something. Hmm.
Doesn't seem
It was a very interesting experience being in that city. It was very different from any city I've ever been to and probably ever will be in. But yeah. I mean, that sphere does look fucking sick, though, I gotta say. That is pretty crazy.
I agree.
That's a cool one.
People are telling us that Beast Coast made it in to TI. So add that
just beat Shopify now.
Yeah, Shopify, they just lose to every South American team. It's just the way that they go out in tournaments. So
yeah,
it is what it is. So as a final part of the episode, TSM, BetBoom, Quest, and Aster are all fighting off for the last two slots. So two of those four teams will be going to TI.
Yep.
And it could be TSM that is not even at this fucking tournament. So yeah. It should be exciting. Good luck to everybody.
Yeah. I wonder how closely a team like TSM watches. Like, you're in that position, are you watching all the games and just cheering, or are you just not watching it and just waiting on the result? You know what I mean? Would you rather not watch the games because of how much is at stake for you? Yeah. In a way. I'm curious. Maybe the players handle it differently as well. It's a pretty daunting situation to be in. You know, there's like four teams coming for your head and you can't do anything about it but hope the right teams win.
So I'm going to say my prediction is that, unfortunately for TSM, I don't think they'll make it. I think Quest and BetBoom will get there in the end, which means Aster, TSM are on the outside looking in. But you never know. Quest would have to pretty much just drop out at this point.
Is it really that bad?
What?
Do they have to drop out to not make it?
No. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure they need to win at least another round.
Quest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So in order to not make it, it's not just they need to not drop out. They need to win another one or two series.
Quest would have to win two more series, probably.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah.
Maybe more. They might have to get really high rating. I don't know. Okay, that does it for us. I'm off to Hawaii. Peace out, everybody.
Have a good holiday, Shane. I'm excited for you. I hope you have a good time going on a holiday.
Thank you. I might come back sunburned.
That's actually so crazy.
I don't get tan. Yeah. I get sunburned.
Bring sunscreen. Bring plenty of sunscreen.
I'll do my best.
Minimum factor 30, Shannon. Remember? And remember, it goes everywhere, including on the ears.
Thank you. Last two times I used sunscreen on my face. It leaked into my eyes with sweat. And then I got an eye infection. Literally. The last two times.
You cannot be helped.
I might just leave my forehead the way it is.
Oh boy.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
Bye. Wear a hat.
Say things that don't mean anything.
And subscribe.